Okay, well, thank you very much, Pastor Chris and Sandy, for giving me this privilege. And that's actually my first point, and my name's Alice, so I'm doing quite well so far. I've been in family church for about 16 years, but I've been in the promised land of Waterlooville for about 2 years. we're carrying on the series of Summer Fruit, based on Galatians 5, 22 to 23. And I've got the NLT up there. So it says, "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And there's no law against these." Nobody can complain about those, can they? So I was just thinking about these and just pondering on them and this list. And it suddenly occurred to me that actually, this is God's character, isn't it? He is love. Oh, could we have it back? Thank you. He is love. He's filled with joy. And actually, in the Old Testament, he reveals himself as the Lord is peace to Gideon. And we've already heard about his faithfulness, his goodness. You know, this is the character of God. And isn't it amazing that the Holy Spirit is producing the character of God in our lives? Wow! So we don't have to ask or try to be kinder, or I really should be kinder to that person, or, you know, we don't have to, I'm going to be more patient. It's not that. It's the Holy Spirit producing it in our lives. And if you think about a fruit tree, I mean, do you ever see a fruit tree straining to produce fruit? It's like standing there going, "Oh, I'm going to produce an apple. Oh, it's going, oh, pop, it's an apple." You never see that, do you? I mean, that's like ridiculous, isn't it? Rather, it just wakes up in the spring, pops some flowers out, and then a bit later on, the fruit starts growing. And it's just easy, isn't it? And that's how it should be in our lives if we allow the Holy Spirit to produce God's character in our life. Now, there was something else that I got out of this as well, this thing, and I've just lost my things. Okay, think about it. God, the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives is not a great career. It's not a wonderful family. You know, that's not God's fruit in our lives. It's not even a big church or even people coming to know Jesus. That's not the fruit he's saying he produces here. He produces God's character in our lives. And then that's what brings people to salvation, when they see God in us. Isn't that amazing? That's so much easier, isn't it, than thinking, "Oh, I've got to speak to this person about Jesus because they need Jesus." No, just be Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit produce God's character in your life: love, joy, peace, patience, all these, faithfulness. And people will be drawn to you. Those who are seeking God will be drawn to you. So that was just a few things that I got out of that verse. But actually, what we're doing is, Pastor Sandy said it last week, just like you send your car in for an MOT once a year, that's what we're trying to do over the summer. We're trying to have a bit of an MOT on our walk with Jesus. You know, how's it doing? How are you getting on? You know, is the Holy Spirit able to produce these fruits in your life? And so today, I'm just going to talk briefly on the aspect of peace. What is God's peace? How can we allow the Holy Spirit to produce that in us more? And the benefits of it, really. So first of all, question to you, okay? Get your thinking caps on, okay? Where do you find your peace? What gives you peace? What makes you peaceful? Okay, just have a think about that, you know. It could be a beautiful sunset. You could just go and stand and watch a beautiful sunset, and that just makes everything, wow, that's amazing. My sister, she goes down to the seaside and looks at the ocean, the vastness of it, and the waves coming in and going out. And she says just the magnitude of the sea just makes everything else, all the stress, all the anxiety, just drain away as she just gazes at it. Of course, for some people, it will actually be the absence of war. I mean, we live in a world, don't we, where war is rife. And, you know, how do you find peace in the midst of a war situation? And for somebody else, it might just be the end of the day when your busyness is over, you've done your work, the kids are in bed, fast asleep, and you just sit down in that chair and it's quiet. Oh, just peace. Lovely. Anyway. Okay, but we're not talking about just worldly peace or our peace. We're talking about God's peace. What is God's peace? And the good thing about God's peace is that it's not temporary. All those things that we talked about, they're temporary, aren't they? If war ceases, there's going to be another war somewhere else. You know, in the morning you've got to get up and go to work and the kids are going to be there and you're going to be running about and it's not going to be quiet and peaceful anymore. But God's peace isn't like that. God's peace is all the time because he is peace. And if he's living in us, if we've been born again, his spirit lives in us and therefore he is in us. That peace is in us. So we can experience it all the time. And of course, when we look at Jesus, he is the ultimate expression of God's character. He is both God and man, and he shows us what God is like, because God is spirit, and it's sometimes a bit difficult. Well, in fact, it's impossible to see him, isn't it? You can't actually see God in the spirit, but you can see Jesus. Okay? So he is the ultimate expression of God's character. And he said this in the book of John, chapter 14. He said, "Peace I leave with you. In fact, my peace I give to you." So that's God's peace Jesus is giving to us. It was to his disciples, but if we're following him, we're his disciples too. And it says, "Not as the world gives." So it's not like, you know, watching a lovely sunset that goes down or, you know, putting the kids to bed and having peace and quiet. It's not like that. That's why he says, "I give it unto you, not as the world gives." And then it says, "Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Now, I was just thinking about that, and I was thinking that word, "let," that gives us a choice, doesn't it? Let. We can either let it happen or not let it happen. And that's the same with God's peace. In any situation, we can either key in to God's peace in a situation, whatever that situation is, because God's peace doesn't change, or we can let our hearts be troubled and we can be afraid. I don't think I'm going to say anything else about that. Okay, so what is God's peace like then? Okay, it's there all the time, we know that. The Bible uses two words, shalom, which is the Hebrew, and probably most of us have heard that word, haven't we, shalom. And in fact, in Israel, they use it as a greeting, shalom, peace be with you. Okay, but also the Greek word, which I'm going to try and say it, but it might not be right. Okay, so eirene, okay, that's what they use in the New Testament to denote peace. But actually, the definition, well, in fact, in English, that's just peace, isn't it? There's no depth to that. But in the Greek and the Hebrew, we know that things are much, much deeper. And so, but actually, in fact, both the Greek and the Hebrew are virtually the same definitions. So I'm just going to talk about shalom, but actually that is erene as well. Okay? So with the idea of shalom, peace, I picked out three words. So the first word is wholeness. So there's a sense of wholeness about God's peace for us. Nothing missing. There's no breaks, there's no dips, there's no, you know, sort of strange things in it. It's just whole, it's complete. It's full of well-being. God wants us to be full of well-being, of health. He wants us to be full of health, and he wants us to be full of prosperity. So that's the sense of wholeness. He wants us to be whole. And then there's a word, security. Now, for us, when you say security, you just mean like lock your doors, keep your purse tight, password on your bank account, that sort of security, isn't it? But God's kind of security is bigger than that. His peace is bigger than that. And it's not the absence of bad things happening to us, but it's allowing his blessing in everything that you do. So whether it's good or bad things happening to you, it's allowing his peace and his blessing, his wholeness, to come out of that, to allowing him to bring peace into that situation. And so it's like in your coming and your going, whatever you're doing, it's allowing his security, his blessing in that situation, in every day, all the time, every way. It's walking in God's best. And I know there's a lot of difficult situations for a lot of people here today. I've been through some difficult situations myself as well. But it's allowing God's security to really secure you in that situation, to his blessing, to allow him. And in fact, Romans says, doesn't it? It says, whatever situation, he'll bring good out of it if we allow him to, if we're walking his way. And then the third word is completeness. I sort of mentioned it with the wholeness, but there's another aspect to the completeness, and that is in our relationship, in our fellowship with God. Because quite often, I think, sometimes we feel like if we've done something wrong, that's broken our fellowship with God. But that's not true. From God's point of view, you can never break your relationship with him, because it depends on Jesus. Your relationship with him has been given to you because of Jesus, what he did. And so that can never be broken. So even if you do bad stuff, even if you mess up, God still wants you to come to him. He still wants you to feel that fellowship with him and to allow him to help you out of the mess, basically, to help sort it out. And he will, because he's good and he's faithful. And so it's just that wonderful sense of God's relationship, fellowship. You can't break that. And that's God's shalom peace. For us, that's what he wants for us, and that's what the Holy Spirit wants to produce in us. So then I'm thinking, okay, that's fine. So how is your peace with God? How is that shalom peace? Is it a bit dodgy? Have you been sort of finding it hard to find that shalom peace recently? Maybe. So I'm just going to do a bit of an MOT. Okay, so I'm going to use three scriptures, I'm going to look at them and just work out whether we need to tweak our peace a bit, whether we need, not tweak our peace, but we now need to allow the Holy Spirit to tweak that part of us, okay? So the first one is Proverbs 14, chapter 14, verse 30. This is in the NLT. Yep, brilliant, there it is. Okay, and it says, a peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. I'm just looking at the first bit, okay? A peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. So my question is, Is there something that's unhealthy in your body? Is there an ache, a pain? Is there, you know, something that's not quite right about your body at the moment? I'm not saying it is, but I'm just saying, is that because your heart's not as peaceful as it should be? Is there unrest in your heart? And actually, God really used this verse to speak to me while I was preparing this message. I had to laugh because on Thursday, I'd set aside the whole day just to be with the Lord, hear what he wanted to say, and try and write something. But as the morning went on, my head just got worse and worse. I thought, I can't have a migraine. And like, it was just getting really difficult to read the word. It was getting really difficult to write anything, to even think. And I was speaking in tongues, and I was like, you know, no, come on, go. I can't have this. And in the end, I was just reading this verse. I was thinking, a peaceful heart. Okay, God. Okay, Father. Is my heart not very peaceful? And he said, well, just remember what you said last night. And the night before, we'd gone out to some friends and for a meal. And I was just saying to them, oh, I'm going to be speaking on Sunday. And then I found myself saying, oh, I'm so scared. I'm like, how can I speak for 25 minutes? I've never spoken that long before. What if I don't have anything to say? And God just highlighted on the Thursday, he just said, see, you know, there was fear in your heart. But don't you think I'd be faithful? Don't you think I'd tell you what to say? And don't you remember what Jesus said, that my sheep hear his voice? And I was thinking, oh, yeah. Sorry, Father. I just give you my heart. I just want that peace. And it came back. And I just went, whoa, thank you. And the headache didn't go straight away. It took a bit more time. But as the day wore on, I found that it was a less and less of a problem. And God's peace was returned. And in a minute, So that's the first scripture for your MOT. So think about it. If there's something not quite right in your body, maybe it is that the peace in your heart is not quite, you know, as it should be. Okay, so the next scripture. This is from the second letter to Peter, chapter 1, verse 2. How am I doing for time? Oh, my goodness. Okay. Okay, so this says, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. So grace and peace be multiplied to you. So I'm just thinking, well, is your grace and peace growing? Is it being multiplied? Are you feeling more peaceful, more grace? You know, or maybe it's, you know, you're finding it a bit dry. You're not quite as peaceful or full of grace as you should be. And it goes on to say the knowledge to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. And that word knowledge is not head knowledge. It's not getting more like, oh, I know what Jesus did. He did this miracle, this miracle, you know, stuff like that. It's actually relationship. It's knowing, like a husband and wife know each other intimately. It's that with God. So are you lacking in intimacy with God right now? You know, is that causing you, your peace to be hindered, to be a bit fluttery and not quite there? So maybe you need to spend some more time. Just get alone with Jesus. You know, or go for a long walk and meditate on something that he says to you, you know. Just do whatever it is that gets you close to Jesus, that enables you to tune in to what Jesus, who Jesus is, and your relationship with him. And then the last one is Colossians. The last Bible verse. Yep, brilliant. Is Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. So, okay, reversing this a bit then, looking at it the other way round, are you finding it difficult to allow the peace of God to rule in your hearts? So when you have to make that decision about whether you want to be, you know, oh, this is terrible, or no, God's got this in hand, I'm going to be okay. You find it a bit difficult to allow that peace to rule? Maybe there's a relationship with each other that needs to be sorted. This says the members of one body, we are all part of one body. And if we have something against, maybe you were offended by something that somebody said, or they said something that hurt you, and you just backed off. You know, you don't want to be close to them anymore. You know, that's not the way of the body of Christ. We're family, as we learned earlier. We're brothers and sisters, and we need to get these things sorted out. And that can hinder our peace. You know, if we've got something against one of our fellow believers or our fellow brothers and sisters, isn't it? Okay, so maybe just think about it. If the Holy Spirit prompts you, maybe you need to have a conversation with somebody, or maybe you just need to go back to God and say, okay, God, help me to understand this relationship. You know, how can I make it better? Or is there something I need to do? Or, you know, something like that. And then the other thing in that verse is always be thankful. And it's so easy in this world to stop being thankful, isn't it? To moan, to say, oh, look at the government, you know, look what they're doing. Oh, the weather's not right, it's too hot now, you know. you know, I don't get paid enough. You know, oh, I'm doing all this work and they're not paying me enough. All those things, it's easy to say in our society, isn't it? But let's be people of God who are thankful, even for the small things. The fact that I can stand up here, that I've got a voice, that we've got chairs to sit on. Sometimes when David and I sit down for our meal, that and we say, give thanks for the meal, I just go, oh, thank you, God, I've got a chair to sit on. Because it is. That's what keeps your heart soft, being thankful. Okay, so I've only got 4 minutes left. Okay, so... I was going to do something which involves three people. Is it okay to do it? Oh, thank you. Okay, so can my volunteers come up? N.A., Debbie, and Hannah, who I've roped in. I didn't know she was coming, but I know she's good at acting. Okay, so how do we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, to produce God's character more? Okay, and last week, Pastor Sandy set us up with how God made us. God made us in body, a body, we all know a body, our soul, which is our mind, our will, our emotions, but also our spirit. And when Adam and Eve ate the fruit, their spirit died. We know their body didn't die because they hid from God, and we know their soul didn't die because they were afraid. That's an emotion. But so it must have been their spirit that died. Okay, so we are all born with a dead spirit, which is why Jesus said, you have to be born again to know God. Okay, so let's have a body. I better do Hannah as a body because I told her. And then Debbie's going to be a soul, and N.A. is going to be a born-again spirit. Wouldn't you like to be a born-again spirit? Okay, so let me just move this out the way a bit. Okay, so we're looking at how do we allow the Holy Spirit to grow more of God's character in our life, okay? So if I could just find... So I'm just going to give you an example. You know I said a peaceful heart leads to a healthy body, Proverbs 14:30, and how God really spoke to me. So I'm just going to do that, okay, in this form. Okay, so notice that the soul is in between the body and the spirit. So you cannot find out what's in the spirit through the body. That's through the five senses, through your eyes, your ears, your touch, your smell. Okay, it has to be your soul that allows the spirit to come out and then affect your body. And if your soul is too engrossed in your body, i.e., you know, I like what my body's doing. I'm looking after my body. I'm eating what I like. I'm doing, you know, all this. Your soul is not going to bring out the spirit. But if your soul is reading the Word of God, the Word of God is telling the soul what is in the born-again spirit. And because the Holy Spirit is in our born-again spirit, your born-again spirit can explain what the Bible means, okay? And then that can affect the body. Okay, so I'm just going to do my little what happened to me on Thursday, okay? So body, you're getting stressed out, okay? You've got a headache. Soul, you're getting fearful because you've got to do a talk. Okay? Yeah? Okay? And spirit, you're trying to get their attention. And they're not paying attention to you. Okay? So then, right. Spirit, shout this out.
A peaceful heart leads to a healthy body.
So the soul's now listening to the word of God. So soul, you tell that headache to go. And you allow God to give you peace in your heart. Well done. So that basically is just how we allow God's character, the Holy Spirit, to grow God's character in our life. The soul can't do it without the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. But with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, the soul can affect the body and be renewed in the mind. Okay, thank you very much. We can... So, shall I carry on? Oh, I carry on. Okay, I'm coming into land, and I just wanted to read, because obviously that's quite a, I don't know, just a general example of how we can live out our daily life. But some people are in far, far worse situations than that, in terrible situations. And really, can they experience God's peace and God's way in that situation? And I say yes. And I just want to read you. This guy, Mervyn Thomas, he goes round speaking to persecuted Christians, praying with them, encouraging them. And he speaks in Parliament. And he's been to America and spoken in the White House in America and stuff about persecution of Christians and other people as well. People who aren't experiencing freedom. Okay, so this is, he just went to visit some people in Nigeria in a place called Maiduguri. Has anybody heard of that? You've heard of Maiduguri? Okay, and there were people there who had experienced terrible rioting by the Boko Haram because of the Danish cartoons. Do you remember that they drew a Danish cartoon of Muhammad? And then so many people were affected, the Boko Haram and other people. So anyway, this was one guy that he visited that had been through the riots. Okay. And it says, where are we? Sorry. Right, in a different part of Maiduguri, we met Pastor Augustine and his wife Ruth, who told us a very different story, having lived through the same turmoil. Augustine was at home with children when the riot started. He had a dilemma. He was the pastor of a local church. Should he flee for his own safety, or should he stay for the sake of his church? He had no idea what to do for the best, but in the end decided to sit tight and prayed, "Lord, I'm staying. You've got to protect me." Eventually, a gang of armed men arrived at his house and began breaking down the gate. He heard many raised voices, and they were shouting, "A pastor lives here who teaches people the Bible. His wife is also a pastor. Let's bring them outside and kill them." Augustine stretched his hand towards the gate and commanded it not to yield. He returned to the house, hid his wife and children in the furthest recesses of the house, and sat in front of their hiding place. The men broke down the door and rushed into the place where he was sitting in prayer. He closed his eyes, remained sitting on his chair, and prayed silently, asking God to help him. He heard the sound of people moving around him and heard their conversation. "There's nobody here. Go upstairs and check all the bedrooms." More noise of people moving around upstairs, and then the sound of them returning to the living room. "It's empty. I can't find anyone. Okay, let's move on." Then silence. Augustine opened his eyes. He was alone. God had performed a miracle and hidden him from their sight. The first gang left him alone and contented themselves with looting his house. Later, a second gang came and actually cornered Augustine. One of them raised his dagger over his head to deliver a fatal blow, but his arm became paralyzed and he couldn't strike Augustine. A look of shock spread across the man's face. Gradually, they all backed away and left Augustine standing alone. However, his ordeal was not yet over. Yet another gang of armed men appeared and surrounded him. "Surely this is it," he thought. "I can't survive a third attack." However, just as he thought the end had come, a large Muslim man who was part of the crowd ran forward, stood in front of him and said, "If you want to kill this pastor, you'll have to kill me first." The group left, and when Augustine went to thank the man, he was nowhere to be seen. I think that was probably an angel, wasn't it? But isn't that amazing that in the midst of such horrific things, that man could find his peace with God. He could find God's character in him to allow him to stand firm. And thank God that he's a faithful, good God who helps us. So just to finish off, I've got John 16:33, and I've just been meditating on this verse because it's just great. Think about this. Jesus was saying this to his disciples the night before, just before he was going to be arrested. So he's told them he's going to be arrested, killed, taken away, he's going to be, and then he's going to be resurrected. And then he says, "And you guys are all going to leave me. You're all going to abandon me." Okay? But then he says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." And we always concentrate on the second bit, don't we? But I've just been meditating on the first bit, and it says, "These things I've spoken to you, that in me you might have peace." I don't think the disciples were going to have peace when he's just told them that they're going to abandon him. I bet they'd be going, "Well, of course we won't abandon you. What are you going on about?" Won't they? But I bet when they did abandon him, they remembered Jesus' words and they could choose to have peace even though they'd left him. And that's what I just think for us. Whatever Jesus has said to you, stand on that in the midst of whatever you're going through. You know, whatever difficulties you're facing, stand on what Jesus has said to you and you can know his peace and allow the Holy Spirit to bring that character to you. Okay. Shall I pray? Yeah. Okay, I'll pray. Father God, I just want to thank you. Thank you that you've done the work. Jesus, you did the work. You brought us into fellowship with the Father. And you've given us the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for loving being with us, loving producing God's character in us. And I just pray for all these people, all of us here, who are really struggling at the moment with difficult situations. Whatever your situation, Father, I pray that they would be able to rest in your words for them, that they would know your peace, that we would all know your peace. And be able to walk through and see your goodness come out of these situations. that even now, Holy Spirit, you'd bring your comfort and your peace to people's hearts, that they would be able to turn from the anxiety and fear and receive that peace, that complete shalom peace, that fellowship with God, that security, that wholeness, that completeness right now. Holy Spirit, we ask for your work in our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just sit quietly. Allow the Holy Spirit to really speak to you. Allow his rest, his peace. Allow his shalom peace.